All right. Thank you very much. My name is Jim Dingman. This is the convening of the June 18th, 2019 Pacifica National Programming Committee. I am the secretary from the last reiteration of this body, and I'm going to call the roll right now and see who's here and who isn't here. Leslie Bethune from KPFT.
Here. Here.
Okay. Shara Dedman from KPFA.
Here.
Okay.
Jim, point of order, please. I'm sorry.
Donald Goldbacher. Donald is not here, I understand. Okay. Donald's not here. Five Malim Ak. Is he here? All right. That's the second time he has been absent. Okay. Michael Novick, is he here from KPFK? No? Okay. Is Lawrence Reyes here from KPFK?
Lawrence Reyes is not on this committee.
Really? I thought he was.
Yeah. No. Uh-huh. Lawrence Reyes is in the coordinating committee, as far as I know.
Oh, I thought he was on the committee. All right, so Michael Novick is on this committee. Is he Mansoor?
I don't think so, but I will double-check with him when I see him soon.
All right, double-check, man, because he's absent. All right,
yeah,
Mansoor, you're here, of course.
Maybe.
And let's – James Sagerton.
Here.
AI.
Here.
Okay. Murray Will Smith. I guess I'm mistaking it for Cliff Smith, right? Is Cliff
Smith? Yeah, Cliff Smith, WPFW.
Smith from WPFW, you're here. Okay. We have Nancy Sorden here. Okay.
Here.
WPFW. And we have Michelle Manos from KPFK here.
Here.
Is that correct? KPFK. And do we have Venetia Williams? Venetia Williams from KPFT. Is she here? Okay. Wesley, you just have to find out if she knows about this or not, man. Because I don't know if she knows about things. Now, we don't have Maxie Jackson here today, right? Maxie's not with us today? Okay. All right, the first order of business is...
Jim.
Yeah.
You didn't call me.
Yeah. Okay.
Carol.
Pardon moi, Carol. Carol Wolfley.
Here.
From the KPFA. Did I miss anybody out there in Etherland? No, okay. All right, so we have quorum.
Mansoor. Okay. Mansoor would like to be recognized.
Yes, Mansoor, please.
Thank you. Since we're missing many people, maybe it's best to defer electing a chair and officers to the next meeting to make sure that everybody's going to be here. Just a suggestion.
Carol for the stack.
Yes, Carol.
I understand the concern, and my suggestion would be that we open with nominations and send out an email to people who are not on, letting them know that they also can nominate, and then we can vote after that.
Nancy, to the sec.
Go on, Nancy.
How about a pro tem chair until we can do the regular chair?
But Jim's been doing this for a couple of months now.
Yeah, I'm the pro tem chair, the secretary, the vice chair rolled up into one right now. I mean, because I'm still the secretary from the last reiteration. But anyway,
if there was a pro tem chair, I take it you're also the pro tem secretary, that would give you a break. There could be two people doing all those things.
Does anybody want to be a pro tem chair?
James for the staff.
Well, we can nominate.
Yeah, Jim.
I just want to know, was this election noticed? Was it part of your notice
Is this properly noticed? Are we officially, you know, by the rules, ready to go?
Well, we talked about this now two times. Talked about this among ourselves. I didn't really have to notice this posting.
I want to ask. That's what my question was. Was this properly posted as an election meeting?
Well, it was posted in the minutes that we'd have nominations for chair, vice chair, and secretary. And actually, last meeting, we decided that we were going to actually do this time. So that's my understanding. Anybody want to chime in on that?
Well, I saw it posted in the agenda today that went out to everyone. I see
the
that.
The agenda looks good.
Yeah. All right.
Pro-tem is not, so I don't know if you need that stringent of notice for pro-tem. Pro-tem election.
James for the SAC?
Yeah, Jim.
Yeah, I'm just trying to clarify this. So I think I may be conflating certain things, which is, you know, if you're going to establish a committee, you need to give 7 days notice for the establishment of the election. So is that the case in this situation or no? And I appreciate hearing from anyone.
Nancy, I think that's the purpose of the pro tem is to get you to the point of having, you know, the officially noticed election.
Carol for the staff.
Go on, Carol.
So this meeting, at the past two meetings, we have put it in the agendas and the minutes that we would be beginning. So my proposal to this group is that, you know, this is not – everyone on this committee was elected by their LSBs already. So to have an election for the chair, and we have noticed – so my suggestion again would be that we open the meeting for nominations. And we nominate today, and we invite the people that were not able to be on the call to nominate themselves or nominate other people. And then we continue with the election after that. And the election after that could be done by email or it could be done by vote at the next meeting.
Nancy.
Go on, Nancy.
Oh, that's fine. But, I mean, that's a different issue from whether or not you want to do pro tem. But I thought the issue about holding off on actually having the election was because the committee is not completely formed yet.
Jim, to Zach, the people who have been elected to this committee, although there may be some confusion by some. There have been several meetings now where people who were elected were given email notices about them coming or not. And as of the last meeting, I made a point as the existing secretary that we're now counting out when people aren't attending. So tonight is the second night of that kind of counting out. So I don't consider that the committee was not established. The committee has been established by email and changed a little bit for the past four or five meetings. So I don't want to start the clock next week because that would allow some people who haven't decided to come to sort of get a chance to, you know, I don't know, whatever is going on. I mean, I certainly don't want to be unfair about it, but, you know, I don't want to not have quorum. And last time we were meeting, people would deliberately not show up for committee meetings to not let us have quorum. So I want to avoid that problem right from the get-go.
Carol for the stack.
Go on, Carol.
Well, that's fine.
I would propose that we move ahead. I propose that we move ahead with the nominations and that Jim continue as pro tem.
And have elections when?
Have elections send out a notice, ask for more nominations, and have elections at the next meeting or by email after the next meeting.
James, for the stack.
Go on, Jim.
Can anybody clarify for me what the notice requirement is? I mean, it seems like people are saying that this was discussed in previous meetings. What I tend to look for, because of my experience in the LSB, is that any meeting that has an election has to be noticed on KPFTX. Is that the case in committees, or is it not?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
Can we ask Otis, because he's our compliance officer. Otis, are you still on the call?
Shira to the stack.
Yeah, go on, Shira.
I second Carol's motion, I guess I would just like to specify that we go ahead and notice that at next, we notice now that at next, the next 2 weeks meeting, that we'll hold elections.
James for the stack.
Go on, Jim.
Well, I think there were others before me.
All right. Does anybody else want to speak about this?
I don't think any of this is Otis. I don't think any of this has anything to do with the CPB. I don't even know if it has to do with our bylaws. I don't know where there's a restriction against when you hold elections. I could be wrong.
I'm talking about just like open meeting requirements, you know.
In respect
of
what?
There's no open meet. So this meeting was appropriately posted and...
Yeah, this meeting is an open meeting. It was appropriately posted. Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, it wouldn't... The way the calendar works, you can't post unless it's appropriate.
All right, who's
James, I think it was next, James.
All right, Jim.
Mansoor would like to be on staff.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to know whether or not an election of a chair of a committee is something that needs to be officially noticed on KPFTX for, in order to be legitimate.
Otis, are you there, Otis?
Okay, yeah, that would be a bylaws issue, and I don't have an answer to that, except that I don't think so. I don't remember seeing that in the bylaws, but we could look and see what the bylaws say.
Mansoor?
And the other thing about the elections is the only thing the bylaws say is that the elections are supposed to be, if you have more than one position, it has to be, I can't think of the name of the kind of voting that we do, by secret ballot.
STV.
It has to be STV. And normally the way people have been doing is they do, they'll do an STV, and the mail will go to Terry Goodman. Terry's been willing to count these votes. The other thing you can do is just do it really simply and vote for whoever you want. You can do that. But the bylaws say that we do it at STV. So what the committees have been doing is saying, okay, we've made arrangements with Terry to take care of the votes. Send your vote in to, with an STV ballot. I'm not sure how you got the ballots. The ballots would have everybody's name and then a number next to the name, which would be your ranked choice, number one for your favorite, number two, et cetera, an STV thing. And then that, normally that would get emailed to Terry, but you got to make the deal with Terry.
All right, Jim, we did not do that when we elected the people to this committee last time. We did it by voice vote, and we didn't do any of this noticing stuff. We didn't have to, as far as Kathy was elected as a chair, Eric Ramey as the vice chair, the secretary was sort of left up in the open, and I got forced into it. And we did that with the proviso that if we had to go to Terry Goodman, we would. But we didn't do it by STV, okay? We did it by, at first, sort of consensus. So in any event,
James for the stack.
Hold on, Jim.
James? All right.
Go on, Jim.
On the basis of what Otis just said, I believe that we should go ahead with the election. It sounds like it's properly noticed within the committee. And I think that, well, I'll just leave it at that. I think we should go ahead with the election.
Thank you.
All right.
Mansoor would like to be on stack.
Go on.
All right, thank you. So the way that it has happened in the LSB's committees, we have a pro tem chair at the first meeting, and then because we meet once every month, 2 months later, we elect a chair just because people come and go during those first three meetings. And that's how you sort of like the ones who don't want to stick around at the committee meetings, they would walk away. So you know who's going to be there and not. Usually it's a by, as Jim said, it's by vote, voice vote. You know, you go, I'm voting for Jim, or I'm voting for Nancy or Jim, you know, James. And that's how it goes if our two people nominated per position. So, and then the other part of it is when people are not present at the meeting, when you, like, say, if I want to nominate Donald and he's not here, so he cannot say whether he accepts or rejects the nomination. So that doesn't work like that.
James, for the stack?
Yes. Okay, yes, Jim.
Do we have more than one nominee, or do we only have one?
We haven't nominated anybody yet for anything. Do we want to do that tonight, get it over with, or what, do we want to wait till the next meeting?
I'm talking about electing the chair. I thought we were doing that now.
Carol, for the stack, my proposal My proposal is that Jim continue to be our interim and then chair, and then we open nominations for the three positions tonight. And or if people cannot manage to do that within the next 15 minutes, my proposal would be that we table this whole issue and move on to our content so we can actually talk about programming.
I second, Cliff seconds your suggestion.
All right. Are there any objections or comments to what she just, Carol just said? All right. Hearing none, then how do you how should we do this nomination process, by email among ourselves?
Can we do it by voice?
Yeah,
yes.
Sure. All right. So we want to start it right now. Then get it over with.
Yes.
All right. So who wants to nominate people for the chair?
I would like to nominate James Dingman.
Say your name, please.
I'm sorry. My name is James. His name is Jim.
Okay.
And I would like to nominate Jim Dingman for chair.
All right. Anybody else?
Mansoor would like to nominate Nancy Sorden and Donald.
Nancy Sorden. Oh, well, then we're definitely going to have to have a vote. Okay.
Nancy, I decline. Thank you, though.
All right.
So Donald is not here. We don't know if he's going to decline or accept. That's the problem.
All right. Well, we can find that out quick enough. Okay. So anybody else want to be nominated for the chair? Okay. What about vice chair?
I would like to nominate James.
You want to nominate James Sagerton?
Yes, please.
All right. I would like to nominate Carol Wolfley for the vice chair. Jim or Carol accept?
I would accept.
What about you, Jim?
Okay. So I apologize. I would like to nominate Carol Wolfley for chair. I hope that it's
Oh, chair. Okay, so we got Carol for the chair.
Oh, chair. I think I'm going to decline chair, but say yes to vice chair.
Okay, great. Sorry about that.
Thank you. That's
all right. Anybody else? Jim, do you accept the nomination for vice chair?
Yes.
All right. Anybody else to be nominated for that position? All right. Now, here's the fun position that I do not want to do anymore, okay? I will tell you that straight up, because I have to catch up on the minutes, and other people can do the secretary job differently than me, but who wants to nominate people to be secretary? Who wants to do the job?
Mansoor would like to nominate Nancy Sorden.
Nancy,
I'm nominating.
Nancy, do you accept the nomination for secretary?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I would be even further behind than you. I'm still behind on other minutes but from last year with the strategic planning committee.
All right, next
Michelle Manos.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't
tell,
get back to me.
I would like to
nominate. I'll have to decline also. I have so much on my plate, I wouldn't want to hold things up.
Right.
That's all good. Yeah,
all right.
Mansoor, would you like to be nominated?
I'm sorry, I'm behind on my own stuff as is.
Okay.
All right, anybody else want to do the secretary job?
How about we do
if somebody, Nancy, I just want to speak.
Nancy.
I just want to speak about this position. If anybody has never done secretary, and you know thinks it would be too much, it's really basically to record the decisions, and it's really a great way to stay up to speed with all the issues that you know that are going on. It's a really great way of being part, you know, of being present at the meeting. it's a very interesting position to have. I would encourage if you've never done it and you think you can't do it, and you think it would be boring, it's not boring. It can be a lot. It can be, you know, some. It has to have a certain amount of time, of course, but it's a great position. Encourage people to self-nominate.
Does anybody want to self-nominate?
Carol for the stack.
Yes,
I would like to say that I'm secretary of the KFFA local station board, and I cannot take another secretary job on right now, but what I would offer to do is to help anybody if anybody from any of the other stations would like to do it. And I just want to say we do not, when we do our minutes, we do minutes just based on the decisions. We don't have to record all the discussion or anything. It's just keeping track of the emails that are sent and the decisions that are made during the meetings. And I think that chair and vice chair can also help with, you know, the agendas. So it's really just keeping track of those few emails that, you know, come in with proposals and who voted and if they passed.
Okay. Anybody else to this issue? Anybody want to volunteer to be secretary? All right. I want to reiterate
I would like to nominate James.
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Jim, do you want to be secretary?
He laughs. No. Actually, no. I do not want to be secretary, and I want to somewhat push back on the idea that being secretary is a walk in the park. It is. Being secretary is very important, and it's very powerful. And so I want to try and entice people to be secretary because it is such a good position and it's so important. But no, I don't want to be secretary at this point because I'm overextended, as others have mentioned.
All right. We have nobody who wants to be nominated for secretary at this point. Is that correct, or doesn't want to do it?
Carol for the stock.
Yes, Carol.
We don't have to have somebody be secretary who is a member of this committee. So if somebody knows somebody who you think would do a good job, keep clear minutes, turn it in, we could have somebody who is not on this committee to do that, I believe.
All right. That's not a bad idea.
James for the stack.
It's James.
Yeah, I would like to follow on that last comment by saying that perhaps it would be well advised to postpone the nomination of a secretary and the election on a secretary to the next meeting so that people could fan out and try to find someone who would be a good candidate for that who might not be a part of the committee, you know, a PNB member, et cetera.
All right. Let me just stress what Nancy said, that, you know, I of course, am pretty detail-oriented when I get into being the secretary. I do listen to the entire meeting again, and she's right that it does get you a sense of the flow or things that we forget. So even whatever I would do, I would also listen to the flow of the meeting anyway. But it's probably easier to do it if you're just doing decisions, not the kind of, you know, I'm sort of trying to keep track of where we're going in terms of policy issues. So that's why I'm doing a more detailed minute account. But it is a very important position, as Jim says, and we do need to have somebody doing it. So why don't we try to figure out if we can get a volunteer to do that. I will certainly try to get somebody. Okay? Can we move on from this?
Yes.
Okay. You guys saw the minutes. We have the agenda. Is everybody cool with the agenda, the way it's set up? Because we have a guest coming out at 9:30 who's going to talk about his international press agency. That's about 15 to 20 minutes away. Does anybody have any additions they'd like to make? I did get that input from Shira earlier. We can talk about social media at some point during the discussion. But does anybody have any other motions or issues they'd like to talk about?
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify. Outreach and engagement, while it may include social media, isn't a talk about social media. It's separate. It's a larger talk about outreach and engagement. Thanks.
All right. Well, actually, if we don't have Donald on the phone, there's a pretty large space for Donald to talk about his idea of programming and strategic planning. If Donald doesn't come on the call, would it be a point where you could perhaps talk in that space about what you wanted to talk about?
If it's a major upgrade.
Sure, thanks.
All right, Maxie, you just joined us?
No, I've been listening in, but I was waiting for you guys to wrap up the whole election discussion. So I've been listening for the last 15, 20 minutes.
All right. Anyway, okay, so you guys got the minutes from June 4th. Any comments about it? Approval minutes?
Carol, for the stack, I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Any objections? Okay, so moved. They're approved. All right, now we go to the station roundup. Shira and Carol, do you want to lead off on that?
I guess there isn't, from my perspective, much to relay from KPFA. Kevin did want us to let everybody know that in July they're going to be kicking off a fun drive, a summer fun drive, and it's going to have a 1969 to 2019 theme.
Okay. Any other reporting from Berkeley?
Carol, I went to an Extinction Rebellion gathering, and there were like 80 people there, and it was packed, and I think that there are going to be some big events happening in the coming months, and I think what occurred to me from that is that we may want to have a way to begin to share some of our climate change environmental programming nationally.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Are you guys finished with your report from KPFA?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Leslie, do you have anything to say from Texas, KPFT? Deep down in the heart of Texas.
No. Yeah, no, I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Anything from KPFK?
Mansoor would like to add everybody peace.
Go on, Mansoor.
Thank you. So I talked with our program director, and who would be, I was expecting him to be on this call, but definitely he'll be joining us. Well, I shouldn't say he will be, but definitely he has agreed to attend one of these meetings. So, and I told him most probably about 30 minutes time it's required, and he can fill us into what's going on and some time for Q&A. That's it.
Oh, cool. Do you want to do it next time we meet?
As soon as I get a confirmation from him, definitely I would let you know.
Cool. All right, great. Anything from WPFW?
Cliff to the stack.
Go on, Cliff.
A couple of things. One is I was told that there's been some trying to get our program director, interim program director, to come to come to LSB meetings. And we were told that the PMB does not require that we cannot ask. I mean, here we are, a radio station, and we would like to have the program director come before the LSB, and essentially never does, to report on programming because we're a radio station. And we're told that the PMB does not require that, and we cannot ask the program director, or we cannot require the program director to come to LSB meetings. I was wondering if you all knew anything about this.
Maxie to the stack.
Yes, Maxie. Go on, man.
No. I go ahead and answer the question. I just wanted to say that when you all finish going around the horn with the station reports, I'll chime in on some developments that I'm working on with the PDs and the GMs regarding reporting to the LSBs, the CABs, and volunteers. So I'll just go ahead and finish that part of it. I don't have an answer, by the way. My understanding is that you may not be able to require it, but it's certainly appropriate for all staff members to make reports on occasion to the LSB. There should be no reason for them not to be reporting. Usually the general manager does that primarily, but it's nothing wrong with the LSB requesting reports from the other staff members on your at your individual stations. So I'll just leave that for now.
All right.
Cliff had another comment.
Go on, Cliff.
The other thing is, and this is just in the last week, but we are named Pacifica Network. It looks like we may be within a week or two or 3 weeks of another war. And it seemed to me like that this should be a programming priority for our stations to really address this. I mean, war to me is the most horrible thing human beings do against other human beings, and yet we treat it as like a normal part of human life. And I just think that maybe we ought to think about this in terms of our programming in each station's place.
I just want to mention that this came up in the CAB about a month ago in New York. And the WBI CAB, the minutes haven't gone up they're finishing them, but this particular issue, the fact that we should be doing teach-ins and discussions on the situation in the Middle East, was something that everybody was 100% in favor of. So I agree with that 100%. We should be doing that, and there's no, and frankly, we should be doing it in the physical sense too. And that's, we can maybe talk about that a little later. Now, on the LSB reporting and the development director reporting in New York, there have always been reports by the program director and the development director at certain times to the LSBs. It's never, ever not happened in New York City for years. So whether it's institutionally written in the bylaws or not is another story. But, you know, if the PD wants to come and talk, they can come and talk. If the development director wants to come and talk, they can come and talk. So it's not something that hasn't been out of the ordinary in the past in the stations. Anyway, do you have more to say about PFW?
No.
Nancy, do you have something to add?
Not at Nancy? This time. I'm thinking, but I don't. If I do, I'll chime back in. Thank you.
All right, feel free. Jim, do you have something to add about BAI?
In terms of, please ask me a more specific question.
Well, anything to report?
In terms of, please,
programming.
Well, in general.
No, I guess not.
All right. I want to make a note that yesterday in the Supreme Court, you all may be aware of the fact that one of the favored PSOA, Public Service Operating Agreement entities, is Manhattan Neighborhood Network and the various jockeying that's gone on for the past few years. And they had mounted against them a case that had to do with the issue of whether Manhattan Neighborhood Network was a public forum under the First Amendment law or not. And this case was mounted by Dede Halleck and Papaletto Melendez a few years ago, and it reached the Supreme Court this year, and the decision came down on Monday against them. And the people who voted against them in favor of Manhattan Neighborhood Network were Justices Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, in other words, the most conservative members of the Supreme Court. So that's something to keep in mind. That just did happen later in the month at the Left Forum. We have invited Papaletto Melendez and Dede Halleck to come speak about this in the Left Forum on June 28th in New York City. So that's something to just share with you, because that does have an impact on us and in Pacifica in general, vis-a-vis that issue of what will happen. And I know we're going to go back into the PSOA arguments pretty soon. So I wanted to share that with you all. I did send that legal decision to everybody a little while ago.
Yeah, this is Shira. Thank you so much for doing that. That was really awesome. I really appreciate that.
All right. Anyway, okay, so have we gone through this? Wait, Maxie, you want to jump in?
Yeah, actually, if you will bear with me, I wanted to kind of lay out some work that I've been incubating with the stations relative to reporting to the local station boards, the community advisory boards, and to the volunteers. And so I want to preface it by saying that, you know, as I meet with the different stations, whether it be with the LSD, the CABs, or with the staff, there's some serious issues in terms of communication. I think you guys have expressed some of that periodically on these calls regarding the lack of communication between staff and, you know, whether it be the people involved with the finance committees, guest stations, or programming committees, etc. And so one of the things I'm working on and going to propose that the stations do moving forward is make what I would call serial reporting to the LSG, the CAB, and the volunteers part of their daily their monthly, quarterly, and annual responsibilities. There's a couple reasons for this, if you will. The takeaway would be that, you know, we're trying to build trust. I want there to be more transparency. There's a need to change the culture in terms of the way that the staff relate to the community advisory boards and the LSB. A lot of times it's a confrontational relationship. There's an opportunity to promote knowledge and information gathering. Informed decision making would be made if reporting was done more consistently. We want to instill confidence. I also think clarifying the roles that the LSB and the CAB have in relation to staff is important and can be an offshoot of this activity. Also, identifying opportunities for collaboration, for working together more efficiently and effectively, and justifying management decisions. So that's sort of the reason for doing it. What I'm specifically talking about, and I've said this on a couple of the committees, in particular with the local station boards, the general managers, the program directors, and I would argue even membership and or development directors could be involved in producing monthly financial dashboards, quarterly financial dashboards, and annual financial dashboards that just keep the LSB members up to date on a monthly, quarterly, and annually basis of the financials. There could be the similar rhythm, if you will, with different committees, whether it be membership or programming. In terms of the community advisory boards, dashboards for that would be the RRC PPM analysis. There's what's called monthly top line information. There's quarterly top line, and again, annual top line data that could be provided by the program directors to the CAB. Engagement could be another area where quarterly and annual reporting is done on a regular basis. And so it gets us out of this mode where you all are asking them to make reports or wondering why they're not, or hoping that they'll ask if they can make reports. If we make this a regular part of their job, where they're monthly, quarterly, and annually producing these dashboards, producing these reports, I think the communication and the awareness and the knowledge sharing would improve dramatically. And the last one is the volunteer programmers and contributors to the stations. And they, too, should have the ability to see monthly, quarterly, and annual TAP scan and top line data. The TAP scan web is a more granular notion of the programming and how individual shows are performing. Quarterly can be done as well, and annual for that as well. So I just wanted to put that out there because I know you guys are, in some respects, I would imagine, operating from a deficit. You know, it's one thing to talk theoretically about what should happen at stations, how the GMs and PDs should be interacting with the different LSB and even this programming committee. And then there's another reality, and that's what's happening on the ground. And what I see as a cavity, if you will, is the lack of consistent reporting. The lack of providing you all, the LSBs, the committees on the LSBs, the CABs, with regularly scheduled and predictable reporting so that you can monitor different aspects of the station. So I just wanted to share that with you all, let you know that that's coming soon. I'm actually going to make a presentation to the GMs and PDs this week on Thursday in the spirit of this and making sure that they know that this is what's going to be expected. And the reason we'll be able to do this is obviously the financials will be up to date once we get past the audits in July, at the end of July. And the TAP scan web and top line data from RRC, the people meter data, all the stations should have the full complement of that in July as well. So I just want to give you that as an update.
Okay.
Carol for the stack.
Go on, Carol.
I really appreciate that there is going to be, you know, this possibility of more reporting. I know, just to share, our LSB no longer meets every month. We meet every other month, and our general manager gives a report quarterly, and the there's a finance report quarterly, so it would seem for us with our rhythm and how we're doing things for to have a quarterly report, because I think then you get an overall picture of all the things and it's less of a burden because I know everybody is very busy at the station. So that would be my feedback, Maxie, as I think about it more, is that to ask for quarterly rather than monthly, and we have other meetings, you know, to do other things, but for the LSBs, every other month seems to be working.
No, I appreciate your feedback. Let me just say this: I'm not necessarily implying that these would be meetings. What I'm talking about is you're getting reports, and so those reports can be by email as a document. That just gives you as a member of the LSB or committee on the CAB the data And if you had questions, you could follow up with the GMPD or whoever published that report. So it doesn't have to be a meeting per se. It's just making sure that on a monthly, quarterly, and annual basis, you're getting an update on key aspects of radio station operations. And the reason why it's doable and not a burden, quite frankly, is that these folks are going to have these reports given to them on a monthly, quarterly, and annual basis. So they're really just going to be synthesizing data and publishing it to you in a different way than they receive it. That's all.
Okay. Any other comments to Maxie on this?
I have a question.
James. Yeah, Jim.
This is difficult for me to format, but what is our check and balance on the reports that we get in terms of all the things that you just mentioned?
Go ahead.
Hello?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. You can finish the question. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. That's okay. I basically, that's the question.
Okay.
How do we check on what's being reported?
Sure. Keep in mind, with the exception of the Ks, KPFC, KPFA, and KPFK, NEPA is doing all of the financial management accounting, and the report outs will come from them. So that's number one. They are providing supervision or an oversight, if you will, for the K stations, KPFA, K, and T. So your verification that the number of the information is accurate would be coming from our ICFO, as well as the folks at NETA in the natural role that they assume. In terms of the audience data, I guess I'd have to give that some thought, but I mean, the bottom line is there's raw data that would be in the reports that you're given. The dashboards are basically, especially the top line, when it comes to audience data, would just be giving you an understanding of how many people are listening, what's the time spent listening, what's the P1 data, you know, just core information that's useful for you to understand how the station's trending. That's raw data. And all you have to do to verify that the reports are accurate is ask for the raw data if they're not providing it in the top line itself.
Thank you.
Sure.
David, is David Andreessen on the phone yet? Did you just come on the phone?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Just hold tight a second, David. Does anybody else have comments or questions to Maxie? Anybody? All right. I just want to say one thing. In New York, of course, we have a tradition to have an actual WBAI LSB report on the radio. We're going to have one tomorrow. My experience with these kind of presentations that I've watched go on now for 30 years have been sometimes they are a very interesting dog and pony show or a Potemkin village, to say the least. That's why it's important to also get into the details of what's going on financially so we can make up our own judgments as to what's going on. It's very good to have these quarterly reports, but very often when these reports are made on air, they're sometimes made because it seems to be politically advantageous to do it at this point, given what's going on in the station, or it could be let's present a certain image out there to the public for certain reasons. It's not like a normal procedure, which is what you're indicating you're going to try to establish. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct. Okay. I think what we want to create is a reliable dashboard, which means that you're going to get the same data every month and every quarter and every year. You're going to see the same information. So the ability to manipulate that, I would argue, is limited. And it's reliable information that's useful to get an overview of financials and audience performance.
All right, very good. All right, does anybody else have any comments to Maxie before we move to the next phase of this meeting? Going once, going twice.
Thank you, Maxie. Right.
Thank you, Maxie.
My pleasure.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
All right, I want to introduce to the committee David Andreessen, who is the New York City Bureau member of Presenza, which is an international progressive press agency. And David, why don't you explain to the committee? The committee is composed of people from California, from Texas, from Washington, D.C., from the Bay Area in California, and from New York City in the Pacifica Network. But why don't you explain to us what Presenza is and introduce yourself?
Hi. First, thank you so much for having me. Really, it's an honor. So we met Jim. We did a presentation here in New York City. I think it was last weekend, 2 weeks ago. And for the 10 years anniversary of Presenza, with a volunteer press organization, we are in 30 cities and publishing articles online in 8 languages. Italian, French, Spanish, English, German, Catalan, and Greek. And so our focus mainly is on humanism, nonviolence, human rights, disarmament, and non-discrimination. But we cover also basic income, we cover ban on nuclear weapons, we cover other more specific issues. And we have few radio programs in South America, in Argentina, in Quito, and one in Chile.
Yes.
And if not, we do also other type of video. We produce 3 documentaries, one in revenge, one in universal basic income, and we just came out with one on the ban treaty in combination with ICANN, who got the Nobel Peace Prize 2 years ago. Roughly, that's it a bit who we are.
All right, great. Let me... Does anybody have any questions right away for David? What we're talking about is a international press agency that is doing, it's already set up, that operates around the world. And the reason to bring David on was to sort of introduce Presenza to Maxi, to the members of the committee, and say, well, here's an interesting organization already doing things that sort of is in line with the kind of mission statement that Pacifica has, and let's talk about how perhaps we could collaborate or work together. But I wanted to offer that people who have asked questions to David, please jump in.
Cliff to the stack.
Go on, Cliff.
Do you all have a... So like a regular radio setup, like you have a program every day at the same hour, putting out news around the world? Just how is it structured?
No. It's the best we have on that direction will be in Quito, where we have a weekly international news for an hour and a half. Where we have guests in different parts of the world who are bringing specific information depending on the news. And it's with Pinchincha Radio, with a state radio, who actually have some issue with the current government. But yeah, that's the format there. And the rest in Argentina, Continentes and Continent are more also covering the news, but not necessarily with specific guests. But it's nothing is daily. We don't have any daily program. What we have daily is publication on online of articles. With also we have roughly 350 other partners.
Okay.
You have other questions, Cliff?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
See, what's interesting about what they're doing is they have people all over the world. They have people who are already doing
progressive media work locally in all sorts of places around the world, which when we, Grace and I were talking about this, we said, what a great opportunity to work with people who already have set up essentially press that can report on breaking news stories in different parts of the world. But anyway, does other people want to jump in? Yeah.
Nancy.
Go on, Nancy.
I'm still trying to get a handle on what the proposal is. Is this to have Presenza provide some programming on news programming for to make it available to us? And is it a service that we can purchase, or I mean, what is it we're looking at here? I'm not sure what the proposal is.
My feeling would be basically a proposal to introduce us to Presenza, and we can take it from there. I mean, we're basically bringing David on to sort of introduce what's going on here, and then we can talk about what kind of collaboration or not we want to do down the road. But that's really was the purpose of bringing David on.
And we are volunteer. We are not asking for any money. We do what with a partner. Usually, what we do is we do on the base of Creative Commons. So what we publish, it can be used by Pacifica, and then if we see interesting interview or content, we could also publish it in the format we see fit.
Carol, for the staff.
Go on, Carol. Like to be in this.
Go on, Mansoor. Let me let Carol go first. Carol.
Okay. David, thank you for being on this call. It's amazing what you're doing. I'd like to understand just a little bit more about how you all came together and built this amazing global network of reporters, and how you came together and how that works, how people share. Is it, where's your center, and who else besides your website are you sharing with now?
Sorry, I didn't capture the last part of the question, but...
Oh, who else are you sharing?
Mm-hmm. We were founded 10 years ago. We launched Presenza when we organized, as a humanist, we organized a World March for Peace and Nonviolence, who toured the world for 93 days. And the only way to be able to make visible this event was to create, at that moment, we create a press agency to be able to cover that route. And from there, it gave us a structure to be able to work in different countries and establish the network of relations and partners to be able to, and we have grown from there. After that, the Greek did their editions, and then the Catalan did their edition, and then the German did their edition. So we started at 5 languages, and we expanded to 8 now. And we try to do Turkish now. We are working on trying to expand to Turkish, hopefully very soon.
Yeah. Do you have anybody in Asia?
We have... It's a good question. We try to expand in Asia. We have someone in Sri Lanka,
mm-hmm.
who give us and publish news there. But that as far as you go. We have someone in Hong Kong, but he passed away last year.
Thank you.
Mansoor.
Cliff to the stick.
Yeah, Mansoor.
No. I'll forego my comment. It's okay. Thank you.
Cliff?
I was just going to say that I realize this has to do with the paucity of finances of Pacifica, but I don't believe we have ever had, or of course, I don't know the whole history, foreign correspondents that are permanently stationed overseas. And I realize Democracy Now! Draws in quite a few independent journalists around the world, but I don't know if anybody else, if Pacifica in general does. It seems like it's sort of individual programmers may have individual contacts in different places around the world that they draw into their individual programs, but we do not have a recurring international network that Pacifica has or that we're tied with anybody else, as far as I know. That's all.
Right. That's a good point. And just to add, in the past, there were people paid as foreign correspondents. There were people who covered the Vietnam War on the ground. But in terms of, and I think Free Speech News had some sort of network in its early stages where they had correspondents in different countries. But what Presenza offers is an interesting outreach into a whole bunch of different countries with people on the ground who could work with. That's what's exciting and interesting to me to think about out loud. Anyway, does anybody else want to ask David a question or anything like that?
Yeah, Maxie to the stat.
Maxie.
Hi, David. Thanks for joining the call. One of the things we're working and hopefully going to be able to accomplish once we get our finances in order and in a position to seek funding to support the development of national programming would be to create a roster of journalists not only around the country, but obviously with you all, the opportunity that is there for global reporting and reporters. How would that work, and do you have, does that situation already exist where a certain news agency reaches out to you all to determine if you can provide coverage for certain parts of the world? How does that play out currently?
Well, it depends. I mean, we have very concrete people who are living in very specific cities. I can say Paris, Berlin, Madrid, Santiago de Chile, Quito. I mean, we cover, but we have also a list of people where we are working with for many, many years. Depending on the subject we cover, like if it's on nuclear, nuclear disarmament. We have people in we are part of the coalition Abolition 2000. We are part of ICANN. We are part of, so we can, if you look at the documentary we have done, we have very specific people who could be interviewed and could be contacted for specific situations. So I mean, I think it's two levels of the discussion we could have. It's one at the location and one on subject, depending of the issue.
Well, Maxie, do you want to jump in with more on that?
No, that was helpful. I'll reserve any other thoughts for later. But that was very helpful. Thank you.
Right. Carol for the stack.
All right, Carol, go on.
Okay, David. So, how do you vet or check and verify, you know, the accuracy of the reporting? Is there, what's your process for knowing that your material is accurate and vetted?
I mean, I can give you an example of about the Yellow Vest. I intervened on WBAI personally. I was interviewed by Daniel Bilal on WBI in New York, and we talk about the Yellow Vest, and I contact the people in Paris who were part of who were covering the Yellow Vest, and then they give me information, they give me context of what people were what we were seeing on the press in general, and what was happening more on the ground, so to get some context about what people could hear about the situation in the general news and be a little bit more specific or giving some context.
Okay.
I don't know if that answered directly your questions, but and it's the same with Venezuela. We went to Caracas during the tentative coup try to get a sense of what's happening and so on and so forth. So depending of the situation, it's not like we can cover everything and be everywhere, but when we can be there, we will definitely go. And then we have also knowledge of what's happening and following the process in many conflicts. So, and we have people who can guide us also to get more detail or more context concerning the issue on itself. So it's difficult for me to explain exactly because it will depend of the situation and the type of conflict, but we will definitely try to get as much as detail as possible, depending of what's going on.
Thank you.
Jim, to the stack. David, for example, let's say we wanted to have somebody talk about the EU elections to Parliament in Europe, and particularly the question of the right wing being stronger in those elections. How would that be handled? How could we handle that? Let's say we wanted to get first fresh-hand accounts from Europe based on your correspondent network about how the politics of that are going on in different countries. Is that something that one could do? Could call up and say, okay,
yeah.
Tell us.
This is a great example because we can do Berlin. We have Reto within Berlin and can give you a sense of what's happening in Germany with the story. We can give you somebody in France who can also give you. We can give you somebody in Spain where we're going to have to see the English a little bit. But yeah, but that we can give you like three or four places in Europe, Italy too, where you can get a sense of what's going on in Europe and you know.
And in Latin America, how many people do you have? Where do you have people that one can call upon in Latin America?
In the U.S.?
No, in South America, in Latin America.
In South America, we cover Bolivia, Peru, Ecuador, Chile, Argentina. We had a team in Cuba. I'm not sure exactly where is the situation in Cuba. Mexico. I can give you a more detailed list, but
all right.
Yeah, we can help.
All right, so there's a robust network that's spread out through the world that could grow with a lot of synergy, it looks like.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like Greece, even Greece, Marinella speaks English very well. She was in New York last week, you know, yeah.
Right, remember, we're dealing with dumb Americans. They're not multilingual, you know. We have to remember that. They have to be able to speak in English.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what in Madrid. I'm sure I will find. Yeah. In Catalan, I know someone speaking English very well and very articulate. So
that excellent. Would be, excellent.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have any questions for David?
Nancy,
please.
I'm looking at your collaborations. I see a lot of collaborators, and I'm wondering collaboration agreements and alliances how do these collaborators work with you? Do you have stories or things provided by them, or do you have an independent reporters yourself, or how do you how does the collaborations work with your organization, I guess? I think we have Democracy Now! Is one of them, and
So with democracy, it's mainly one way. It's we publish some of the articles we find interesting for the international community. But with some of them, other collaborators, we have they publish what we publish or what they find interesting, and then we do the same thing. Countercurrent in India is very interesting platform, and very good articles on many issues, and the same they republish some of our contribution.
Carol for the stack.
Go on, Carol.
So you have videos, right? Is that you have videos and then you have some radio too? Is the radio in English? The audio?
No, the radio are in Spanish. The three main programs in radio are in South America, and they're in.
Okay, Spanish. Okay, and but the video is in English, and then the so you've got like let's say we wanted to download some audio, we could download the Spanish and share that during our Spanish
Absolutely.
Programming.
Absolutely.
That would be easy to download the audio.
Yeah.
Do you think is it your sense that the video would translate into audio comfortably, or would it be a mystery? You know, I mean, because we're a radio station, right? I mean, we're a radio network,
mm-hmm.
so we want audio. Mm-hmm. So what mm-hmm. I'm seeing, what would be available for us to be able to download, is it your sense that your video, like, say, Democracy Now!, it's video, but it's also, you know, on the radio as audio. Is it your sense that video in a workable way?
Democracy Now!, you're going to have to contact Democracy Now! Directly. I don't know if... But anyway, I mean, Democracy Now! Work on radio. I mean, they also do a lot of radio. But if you see on our website, you have a presence interview, Jim Felton case. This you can use it on the radio. I mean, it's an interview. You can use the MP3. You can download the videos, and I can give you an MP3 file of that interview. I don't see any problem.
The interviews are audio or they're video?
It depends on the interview. Some have a little bit more editing with images and so on and so forth, and some are more just straight interview. It can be easily shared as an MP3 file.
I see. Thank you. And it's nice because
right.
you've got the text there too.
And some of them are translated in many languages. That's also for you, it's interesting or not.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions for David?
Cliff to the stack. A couple of questions. One is, this might be awkward, but what parts of the world are you weak on? In other words, that you do not have as many correspondents as you would like. And the other question I had...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
Go ahead, David.
Africa and Asia. We definitely need to improve, and we are working on developing Africa and Asia. We need to do
okay.
more than this. We just started to get a relationship with CCTV in China. But it's a very new situation, and we are working to develop it a little bit more. But that's it.
Okay. The other question I had was, how do you all support yourself? Do your correspondents work as journalists in their own countries, and then they release stuff to you all, or do you all have the finances to support them? How does it work?
So everybody is volunteer, and if people have to travel, it's on their own expense. our main cost is the bandwidth, the server, the technical aspect of this, and couple of like if we want to produce a documentary or if we want to publish a book, a compilation of articles we have done. So we do this type of, and we do every year, we do for the month of January, we do a collection of funds, we establish a budget for the year, and then we collect the fund and then be done with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Sounds familiar. Anybody else? All right. Well, listen, does anybody else have any more questions for David before we move on? All right. Well, listen, David, we want to thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today, okay?
Yeah. Thank you. So
it was really a pleasure. I'm there now.
Thank you.